Everybody doing? The Lord is good.
Lock, talk,
and he's
radio.
Still on this. And I want you to know God is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise his holy name for all the things that God has done for us. This God we serve is an awesome God. This awesome God is a blessed God. He's a God that loves us. He is a God that stands by us. He is a God that knows us. And I want you to know God is so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise him. Amen. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. I thank you today for what you've done for us, how you brought us to this point. And we said thank you for all the things that you have done. You have brought us to a place, and we love you, we adore you, and we magnify your name, because it's only you that we're able to stand. I thank you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Hunter. This is Gail calling from with Rhyme the Word. And I wanted to talk
Amen.
To you a little bit this evening about David and Bathsheba. And I titled it, uh-huh. It Cost Him His Life. At first, whenever I was asked to speak on the radio, I really did not feel that I was qualified to do this. I did agree to do 4 programs. This is the third program, so next week will be the last one. But I was really excited to get back into my research. I found yesterday how much I enjoyed digging through the commentaries and the Bible and finding what God's going to show me. And I'm really excited about being able to prepare information to share with you all. So I just want to say thank you for giving me the experience to bring my information to you. But whenever I was thinking about David and Bathsheba, I was thinking, what new way can I look at this that might bring a fresh word to people? Because the story is a well-known story in the Bible. And so God really gave me a way that I thought was a little bit different, because I'm going to look at a couple of different men and see how they handle things. So first, let's look at Bathsheba and David. The story is found in 2 Samuel 11. We'll start in verse 1. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him. He slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. It was a time when the men went off to war. It was the end of the rainy season. It was the springtime in the Middle East. The roads are in better condition, or at least they would be able to be passable so that the armies could get through. There would be plenty of feed for their animals because they raided the enemy's fields as they went. And the Bible clearly states when kings go off to war, David sent Joab, but David remained in Jerusalem. And so we kind of get an indication right there that David probably was not doing as he was supposed to have been doing. In verse 2, it states, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't David already have a beautiful wife? Her name is Abigail. Her story is found in 1 Samuel 25. In verse 3, it says, his name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. What this man was, meaning that he was mean in his dealings, David and his men were actually came to Nabal and offered protection for him, and he refused. So David and his men were coming back to attack, but Abigail interceded on Nabal's behalf, so David did not attack. Then the next day, it says, verse 37 and 38, says, in the morning when Nabal was sober, his wife, which is Abigail, told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Then verse 39 tells us, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause for treating me with against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. Verse 42 says, Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her 5 female servants, went with David's messengers and became his wife. So we know right there that David already had one wife who was intelligent and beautiful. And little is written about his other wives, but there are 8 named wives in scriptures, along with many unnamed wives and concubines. The report on Bathsheba was, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So this makes her the daughter of one of David's best fighters, who was in the group known as the 30. That's found in 2 Samuel 23, verse 34. The granddaughter of one of his most trusted counselors, that's found in 2 Samuel 16, 23, and the wife of one of his inner circle of honored soldiers, according to 2 Samuel 23, 39. So David knew who this woman was. He knew who her husband was. He knew who her father and grandfather were. David knew who this woman was. And at this point in time, you know, David has, he has become, I guess, highly esteemed in my own mind, because I love the story of David and David going after Goliath and killing him, and David running from Saul, and he showed such honor. You know, he wouldn't even attack Saul. And he was just such a prominent person in my mind. And I kind of think he kind of became a prominent person in his own mind, too, by this point. So let's read on and see what the story says, starting at 2 Samuel 11, verse 6. So David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was, how the soldiers were, how the war was going. David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home? Verse 11, Uriah said to David, the ark and the Israel and the Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? Surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. Here David is trying to cover up his sin so that Uriah would go be with Bathsheba and think that because of her pregnancy, the child was his own. So Uriah was actually a total opposite of David at this time in his life. David knew that Bathsheba was married, still slept with the wife of another man, while that man is risking his own life in battle. And here we see that David would be encouraging Uriah to break the ritual law. Sexual activity during caused ritual impurity, and soldiers on active duty were required to remain pure. But Uriah refused to have sex with his wife, and that was clearly expressed by his devotion to the Lord. All sanctioned military activity was a form of service to God, and it required the Lord's blessing. So Uriah did not want to endanger the army, his men, his fellow men. He wanted to protect that, and he wanted to be faithful to the Lord. If Uriah would have had sex with Bathsheba, he would have rendered himself temporarily unfit for military service and thus unfit for service to the Lord. So we see that Uriah is trying to walk before the Lord in the way that he should, but yet David was a little bit questionable at this point. It said, Uriah did not go down to his house. It is now morning, and David has learned the first strategy of cover-up failed to produce the results he wanted. The king feels the trap closing in on himself, so he must come up with another plan. And I was thinking at this point in time, how does a man of God like David, who would not come against Saul because of him being God's anointed, how does he get to the point where he no longer cares about the people in his inner circle, his trusted men of the 30, his closest counselors? What has happened that this man has let things slip with his walk with the Lord, where he's not paying attention to what he should be doing? And according to a commentary, 1 and 2 Samuel in the New American Commentary, it says, all lesser measures have failed. David is now confronted with the horrible choice of either admitting he committed a capital crime, thereby condemning himself to death, or ordering the death of one of his most valuable soldiers. Either way, someone has to die. And since David was unwilling to order his own death, that someone was Uriah. That just breaks my heart about David, because he's such a man of God and such someone that I had admired in Scripture. But it's hard to read this because you just keep wanting to say, David, turn away. Don't look. David, it's not right. Don't do this. Let's go ahead and read 2 Samuel 11, 12 through 17. Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that night and the next day. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is the fierce. Then withdraw from him, so he will be struck down and die. David ends up with three schemes to cover his sin and Bathsheba's pregnancy. Each scheme was a little bit more ruthless than the one before, ending in a criminal act. The first scheme was to bring Uriah home so that he would sleep with Bathsheba and therefore cover up David's sin. The second was to get Uriah drunk so he would go sleep with his wife. And then the third was to kill Uriah because he didn't go sleep with his wife. And I found it funny in some ways reading through the commentaries, because commentaries are people's opinion. They studied the Scripture. They've studied the history. And they make their own opinion, and some of them clearly have said that Bathsheba was at fault. Some of them say that David was at fault. One commentary, it was funny because it said Bathsheba should not have been on the roof. Well, the Bible doesn't really say that Bathsheba was on the roof. It said David was on the roof. It doesn't tell us where Bathsheba was. It doesn't say that she was doing anything wrong. Matter of fact, after Nathan the prophet comes and confronts David, David takes the blame for all of it. Bathsheba may have been doing something wrong, but we don't know that. And so David is the one that, being the man of God, he should have known. He should have turned away. David knows that Uriah, his faithful warrior, will deliver this own letter to Joab, and that letter has his own death certificate inside. And he knows that Uriah is trusted enough that he will deliver that. And that is just the opposite of what David is doing at this point. David knew that he could trust Uriah completely. And Uriah paid the price for David's sin. And it just, I guess, it concerned me that someone who's walking with the Lord can allow something like this to happen. Because I think that we need to look at this not necessarily in such a horrible sin such as murder, but that anybody walking with the Lord can allow things to come in their life that distracts them and turns them away from what they should be doing and gets them further and further away from their walk with the Lord. It tells us that in 2 Samuel 12:1, the Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, "There are two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now the traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who came to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Wow, that's pretty scary, isn't it? As king, different cases are brought before them, and the king is to render judgment in the kingdom. And David gets angry and sentences the rich man because of his wrongdoing and also because he had no concern for the poor man. And David doesn't even realize yet that he's talking about him. He has not looked at himself and seen what he has done. Let me read you another commentary quote that said, this is the commentary of 1 Samuel through 2 Kings, "Who Rules You?" by Dr. Temper Longman. "Many wish to view the text in a way that forces Bathsheba to share David's guilt by assuming she somehow seduced him. In fact, when Nathan pronounces divine judgment on David for his sin, Bathsheba and Uriah are depicted as the victims, not the villains." And it's kind of been my thought of, in my study of this, that Bathsheba was not the blame. And for one thing that kind of leads me to think about that is the situation of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whenever she saw David coming into the city that's found in 2 Samuel 6:16. It says, "As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from the window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart." Then verse 23 says, "Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." So it's just my opinion that Bathsheba did not have wrongdoing in this, only because I feel like when Nathan, the prophet, came to David and said what he did, I think his next sentence after speaking to David, he would have said, "And the Lord has something to say to Bathsheba, where is she?" So that's just my own opinion. But by reading that and by the fact that Bathsheba later became the mother of Solomon, I believe that she was innocent on her part. But I don't know that for certain, and we'll find out when we get to heaven and we get to ask them all. But I believe that had she been doing wrong, the Lord would have known that, and he would have had judgment on her as well. But we also have to consider that when David or Nathan told David about the situation, David did not say he committed the sin, or Nathan did not say that David committed the sin, but he let David pronounce his own judgment, and that judgment was on himself. Yet David had not done anything that was too horrible for our God not to forgive. In David's case, the Lord did something totally unexpected. He did not require David to have the death sentence. because both murder and adultery were sins that were required by the death. But we also have to remember at this time, grieving also was Bathsheba. She had lost her infant son. She was recently widowed under suspicious circumstances, and she had to face the death of two family members within a year. And I'd like to look at someone else to see what decision he had made and what it may have cost them. This is Herod, Herodias, and John the Baptist. In Matthew 14, 3 through 11, or I'm going to read through 11, but it says, "Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him into prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Verse 4 says, for John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet." Then in Mark 6, starting at 21, it says, "Finally the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to her, 'Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you.' And he promised her with an oath, 'Whatever you ask, I will give it up to half my kingdom.'" Now let's think about this. Herod has just said, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." So what might this girl be wanting? What might she be thinking? What might she be planning as her gift? And I have to think, it doesn't really tell us what her age is, but I believe she was a young teenager from the different commentaries I've read. That's what they believe that she was. So what would she have been thinking for? So she went to her mother and said, "What shall I ask for?" And her mother said, "The head of John the Baptist." And I just stop and think, because, you know, this is a teenage girl. What in her mind would she be wanting that when her mother said the head of John the Baptist? I just can't imagine what her face was like, the expression, that she had no idea that this was what she was wanting. I'm thinking this girl, she's probably thinking diamonds in a tiara, or she's thinking new shoes, a new wardrobe. She's thinking something exciting, and her mother comes back with the head of John the Baptist. And I'm sure that whatever age the daughter was, the head of John the Baptist was not what she was wanting. And I don't remember ever asking my mother for anything that I should ask for growing up, because when everybody asked me, "What do you want?" I had a whole list. I could tell them anything I wanted. But my practical mother, if I would have went to her and said, you know, what should I ask for, she would probably said shoes, or because, you know, your shoes are worn out or you're outgrowing them. And I can just think, I don't want new shoes, Mom. I can go barefoot in the summertime. Or she would have said, you know, you need some new dresses. And I just cannot imagine knowing how downcast I would have been for my mother to come up with some practical answer for this young girl, for her mother to say the head of John the Baptist. Okay, so on verse 25, it tells us, "At once the girl hurried back to the king with the request. And she said, 'I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter.'" Verse 26 says, "The king was greatly distressed because of his oath and his dinner guest. He did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to his mother." In the Message Bible, it tells us, "In his drunken enthusiasm, he had promised her an oath, anything she wanted. Already coached by her mother, she was ready. 'Give me, served up on a platter, the head of John the Baptizer.' The king sobered up fast. Unwilling to lose face with his guests, he did it, ordered John's head cut off, and presented to the girl on a platter. She, in turn, gave it to her mother." So we look at this person here who... his decision cost someone their life. His cost John the Baptist his life. David's decision had cost Uriah the Hittite his life. So let me read you. Of course, you know I wrote about David. It's a little rhyme that I call David's Dilemma, and it tells about David and Bathsheba. Excuse me.
Okay.
It was a time when kings went to war, but David did not go. Yet he would face a greater battle at home. But how was he to know? It was the age-old battle between right and wrong, and the ability to say no to himself when his desire was strong. David arose from his bed, and on the roof he walked around. A beautiful woman bathing is what his gaze soon found. The Bible does not tell us if David ever tried to look away. However it came about, his thoughts would soon stray. David asked one of his servants, "Who might this woman be?" When he found out she was married, it was the time to flee. Of David's mighty men of valor, this was Uriah the Hittite's wife, the daughter of Eliam. Any further action would certainly cause some strife. But David sent for Bathsheba and had her brought to his house. It did not matter to him that she was another man's spouse. Now is the time that David was faced with the hardest part of the test. But David lay with Bathsheba, and you know the rest. Sometime later, Bathsheba sent David word. For his adulterous act, this was the worst news he could have heard. David would try to hide it, but the news was still the same. Bathsheba was pregnant, and David was the one to blame. So he came up with a plan, sending for Uriah the Hittite. Excuse me. David would bring him home to get a break from the fight. David asked about the battle and if the siege was going well. He told Uriah to go home, to wash up, and rest a spell. But at the entrance to the palace is where Uriah spent the night. When David got the news, it probably gave him a fright. So David confronted Uriah. "Why didn't you go home to sleep? Spend time with your wife and enjoy the benefits you would reap. Should I go home while the men are sleeping on the ground? And the ark of God," replied Uriah, "can in the fields be found?" To come up with another plan, David had to think. Then he decided he would make sure Uriah had too much to drink. But Uriah still slept at the gate. The results were the same. No matter how he tried, Uriah would not play his game. So David sent a letter to Joab with Uriah the next day. But an unsuspecting Uriah had no idea what it would say. David wrote, "Put Uriah in the front lines when you next attack. Then when the battle is the fiercest, the rest of you pull back." Joab did as David requested, and Uriah the Hittite died. David thought he was free from the sin he had tried to hide. But God knew all the terrible things that David had done. So when David sent Nathan the prophet, when God sent Nathan the prophet, David had nowhere to run. Nathan said there was this rich man who had numerous sheep, and a poor man with only one, and in his bed it would sleep. Then when the rich man had company come to town, he did something terribly cruel and very low down. He took the poor man's lamb and had it prepared as part of the meal he and his company shared. David got angry and said, "That rich man must pay." But he would be caught with what Nathan would next say. Then Nathan spoke to David as only a man of God can. "The Lord has sent me to tell you, David, you are that man." David had let his guard down after he became king. He had received all the blessings the title would bring. He did not immediately turn to God when the temptation came. The results of his sin brought heartache, death, and shame. So when you come upon something you know is wrong, turn away from your sin, even when the urge is strong. Wow. But I want to tell you about someone who chose to give his own life for us, and that was Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And I don't know about you, but the fact that God gave, or Jesus gave his life for me, is something that is so important to me, so special to me, to know that he would do this for me, a sinner. So I just want to let you know that if you want to know Jesus, you can start by saying a prayer. And, of course, I have a prayer here that you can pray. And as in my usual fashion, it is written at a rhyme, but I believe that the Lord will obey that because he has given me this gift. So let me just read this to you, and you can pray with me. If you want to ask Jesus to live in your heart, praying this prayer is where you can start. Because you died for my sins, I know how much you care. So, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord through this simple prayer. You came from heaven to earth for all men to see. You paid the price for our sins, and that includes me. I believe you are my Savior, my God, and my King. I want all you have to offer and all your word can bring. I know to myself there's not enough I can do. The payment for my sin had to be made by you. I will say you are Lord before all men, and you hung on the cross to pay for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. The enemy is defeated, and through Jesus we've won. This is the plan God made before time began, salvation through Jesus Christ and eternal life. Amen. Dr. Hunter, have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, no, I'm just here. I'm thanking God for the teaching you put on tonight. You went back to back and talked about who Jesus. I was just listening. I said, look at God. Look at God. You got anything else you want to say? Anybody got any questions to ask? Go ahead.
Well, that's all that I have for tonight.
Well, I want to thank God for you tonight in more ways than one, how that your patience, your spiritual insight, your understanding of what God is doing, and how we can relate to the Old and the New Testament. May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, how do we get some of the mega preachers to understand being in leadership, what leadership can turn you in? What shall we say to them in this hour?
I'm not sure I really don't have an answer for that.
Well, may I look at it from this perspective?
Sure.
May I? Okay. With the teaching that you have put on us today, it's see what a man who's in power, who's a king, and then you reach out and did what he did, knowingly and unknowingly. As you said, he should have turned away, but he didn't turn away. The leader should always guard themselves because the enemy is always attacking in this new fold. It behooves us to stay firm, stay accurate, stay close with the Lord, because the devil's going to tempt us. He's going to try us. But it behooves us, as you said. The young lady didn't know what to say. She was ignorant of what value had. She could have asked for half of the kingdom, and she'd have had it. But the mother had herself behind the scenes lurking with her desires to get his head. And that was a seat. But I said like this here, Gail, one of the things I know, God had a way to bring the prophet home, as it was in the Old Testament, what Solomon, David done. But David's right was descended over to another lady. Over to from his side of the sea, it was given to Mary to be sitting on as the king. But God, and God is still so good, so merciful to all of us who know that we know. And Gail, I want to say to you, what God has used you again, I pray God you continue, because it made me look back at my own self. I said, wait a minute. Let me make sure. Let me look again. I said, look at this teaching. It was so simple. So simple and pure. All I can say is God bless you. I love you. I thank God for you. And I'll see you next Monday night. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank
Good
you.
Evening. Bye.
Good evening. And tonight's a night where we have open time here. If there's anybody out there on the radio listening in the background, you got a question or statement or some things that you've seen throughout the day that's happened, you want to talk about them, the time is now, not tomorrow. The time is now, because I will say this to us who love the Lord with all our heart. God is so merciful. God is so plenteous. And you know, God still loves all of us. And Jesus Christ is still standing before God, interceding for us and believing God, because God so loved. And God still loves. God's not going to put anybody away. Mankind will do what he needs to do. We got so much incidents that's going on. We watched and saw what a young man that was over there in Israel. They found them, three young men dead. But it's supposed to walk. And see, but all of this is in God's timing. Well, the devil think he's going to get away with something, but the devil's a lie. He's already lost. And sometimes many of us, we don't know, maybe me, maybe you, but God has a purpose for every one of us living. It's up to us. Until you recognize as Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher, we ain't going to make it, we ain't going nowhere, we're going to stay right where we are. And I say this, I love the Lord with all my heart. That's all I know to say. Because he first loved me. He first loved me. And see, the more I read into the Bible, as I was taking scriptures, I found out that Jesus Christ was then and was and now. He said these words. He said, I was there when my Father said, create the depth. Put it a certain distance. He said, I was there when my Father did all this. The more I began to read into the Word, I said, oh, my Lord. You mean he was there? Yes, Jesus was there. So it behooves us who say we love God to be affirm, attune, be ready, and look unto the Lord, who's the finisher of our faith, because God cannot lie. All I can say to us is this. Stay ready, be ready, get ready, because God is on his way back. Now, I just noticed, and I got to just tell the folks, just a few days ago, the faith of the soldiers, we prayed and we believed and we watched God's will come to pass. The first thing, my nephew that we believe was healed, he went on to be with the Lord. Hear them not too long ago. My brother-in-law, he was to be the Lord. We had to bury him. So I'm saying this. I say to everybody, no matter how we see one thing to go, God has the final word. He has the final word. And I believe in my heart, because the closeness that both of them walk with God, not knowing the prayers of my nephew, but knowing the prayers of my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was 79, and when he was at the place, they said, tell him, shut that man up. You're making too much noise in there. So I began to say, what is he saying wrong? He began to say these words, oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. Forgive me for all of my sins. Forgive me for all of my sins. Some I don't even know, but forgive me, Father. And he kept pleading with the Lord. And he break out one of them old ones. He break out, you know, start singing one of those songs. Because he's from the old school as such. But I say to people, when you hear a testimony like that, it cannot help but make your knees buckle unto the authority of God. And say, Father, here am I. And I want to say tonight to us that are just listening, are far and near, our God is still calling on us. God is still calling. We got some people still got their own thinking. And I say this as the Apostle Paul said. He said, I owe no man nothing but love. That's all I know. And that man includes woman. I owe nothing but love. See, a lot of people don't understand what God wants to do with each one of us. It behooves us to stay close to the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while you may be found. And all I can say to us to listening, and perhaps you want to call in, got a question, a statement, because the lines are wide open. You got a question, now's the time. You got a statement, now's the time. You want to say something, now is the time. Because I'm here to tell you, what God is going to do with this radio station, some people are not going to be able to be around and be a part of. And I'm saying this, why are you saying it like that? Because what God has shown me. See, God, he still has control through his son, Jesus Christ. And when God gives his son authority, Jesus gives us the same authority. As he said, that my father gave me a kingdom, I'm going to give you a kingdom. And I say to a lot of people, don't y'all want a kingdom? Oh, I'll be knowing about all that, but let me tell you something. When God gives a kingdom, that means he's putting himself out there because he has trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. And I believe in my heart that the trustworthiness that God has for us and through us, let us note what God is getting ready to do. And some people, some bystanders are not ready to receive. Some are not ready to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord because they have not stopped doing what they're doing. Am I meddling? No, I'm telling you the truth. Because God so loves. And when God loves us, he does just that. And I want to tell some of us to still listen. If you really want to know who Jesus Christ is, you got to come to know. You got to first find out. In the prayers, Gail got through saying, Father, I receive your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for him. I believe for him, for the work he did. I was accepted upon my body, and I want to thank you for everything you have done for us through him. From the day that he was born, I received. He was born of a virgin. I received. He came into this world. He walked the streets for 12. He went through the whole system that they had under Jewish law, circumcised 8 days after. And then he was 18 years. First, his baptismal at 12 years old. He stupefied the lawyers and all who were smart ones. And for 18 years, they couldn't find him. See, all of this comes to accountability, to believe what God says. God cannot lie. And I want to say this to all of us that are listening, to know that God can, God will. God is so merciful. God is so loving. God is so faithful. Until all God has to do is say, I am that I am. Ain't nobody in this world going to come in and say, well, you know, I done heard that, but I want to know a little bit more. Let me tell you something. What has been said has been said. If you can't receive that, you're on your way to nowhere because you first got to surrender. Surrender. Surrender, yeah. You got to surrender your thoughts to God. Well, God, can you make mine better? Yes, he can. I'm here to tell you, God can. As I was reading the scripture some days ago, the more I began to read the scripture, and the book says that God does not bring chastisement upon his children. God brings, he doesn't bring condemnation. He brings chastisement. And I want you to know these words. The God we serve is an awesome God. God still loves us. He still loves us. He still appreciates us. He shows us the way to get to him. And I want to ask one question. Is there anybody out there who want to answer me right now? You got a question, a statement? I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm here. Listen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the thing that I will say to all of us, get ready, get ready, get ready. because the God we serve is an awesome God. And I love God so till I'm willing to give up all I have. I'm not trying to make anybody better than me. I'm trying to make anybody much better than me. All I'm trying to do is say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And I know that tonight somebody needs a touching hand. Well, folks said, we want to talk about healing. Well, that's what Jesus Christ came. When you go back and read the Old Testament, he said, God has sent me to send me that the sick that need healing can get healed. See, there are more people today that are sick. And folks don't want to talk about healing. Some people don't want to talk about how God can, how God will. God can do it through Jesus Christ. He sent him as the propitiation for all of us. When you get an opportunity to go in one of the Old or the New Testaments and read in the book of Ephesians, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, Why did he give it? So that we can be reunited with God. Be reunited with God. And when we are back in the presence of God, Satan doesn't even have a benefone. The devil can't do nothing. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. And I want to say this to you. Right now, as we're on the radio station, we've got 13 minutes for another program. Come on. But I want to leave lines open. Anybody got any statements? I know some people listen out there. I usually look at it. But I want you to know, if you are listening on the worldwide system, we love you. We hate slang, kafroin, bone talk. God, I love you. I thank God for you. And I want you to know this much. We're going to stay with what the Lord is doing for us. And the more the Lord is doing for us, the more we're going to see God doing. It's up to us. See, it's up to us. How do you want God to use you? I want God to use me. I want to be able to take the fullness of the gospel, as they would say, the gospel, and take it to the people that don't know Jesus Christ. Take it to those who think they know Jesus Christ. Simplify it. Make it so tangible until they can see it and come to know and believe that God is still who he says he is. And one of the things I will say to all of us that are on the radio and are listening, there's a time that God is saying to us. And you know, when I look back and I say to you, I know the time will come for all of us, on the air, off the air. So get it ready ahead of time. Leave no stone turned in this life, as I say it. I will never have anybody to say, you owe me a dime. Before you, let me pay you now. Because I don't believe I owe any man anything but love. And love is what I must produce. And God so loved us. And he told us, he said, you love me. He said, love one another. But, you know, we don't want to love one another. We want to fight. Black and white, rich and poor. We ain't got time to do no dealing with that. And we're going to, well, I got a great understanding of it. No, that's not of God. See, the God we serve, intuitively, we know that we know that he's there for us. We know that he's capable. We know there is no God like our God. We know. Why do we know? Because we believe. You know what? Don't ever put yourself out of contact with the people of Israel. Because right now, there's a war going on. Right now in Israel. A decision being made that could cause this whole, where we are right now. See, there can be a war right now in the Middle East. And we will be a part of it, don't even know it. So I'm saying to you, start praying. Start asking God to give you understanding of what's happening in the service right now. Ask God to bring it to a point. Bring it to an understanding. I know that you know. Because God is so man. When I looked up and saw what God can do when I couldn't even walk or talk, but God made it so possible for me. Nobody but God. I said, my God Almighty. Nobody but God. Nobody but God. God made it possible for me. Not a man or a woman, but God did. Why he did it? It for me. Why? Because he loves me. And I know he loves you. I know he loves you. Why he loves you? Because he said, I gave a price. Can you imagine to see his son hang on Calvary, what he went through? Can you imagine that God, the Bible said, because when he saw his son, he refused to look upon, because God cannot look upon sin. Even what Adam did, Adam had to leave the presence of God. The man that did sin had to leave the presence of God. And that was a position of non-judication. What happened? Man forgot to obey what God say do. But I thought I was obeying God, yeah. But when you say that, when you say, and I will say this with love in my heart, to the people that are listening, a lot of people will not come to the point of listening with God while judgment begins. And I want to tell everybody, the sins of believers in Jesus Christ were judged by his death, burial, and resurrection. It's up to you to look into the scripture and find out. That's why you see, that's why you can't judge me no more. I've been judged. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, no. But the scripture says, look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Look at it and see for your own self. See, some people say, well, I know this, I know that. No, you don't. Me, I'll never tell you I know much I want to know because I'm still learning. I am still learning. I'm like a faucet. The more open, the more flows in. The more flows in, the more I want to flow in. Why? Because the more God comes in me, the more I want God to be inside of me. See, salvation and justification. Romans 3:24 tells me this. It says it was, that every believer is justified through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Not the president, not the senator, not the representative, not the governor, not the rich man, not all the oil man, not all the gold, not the man. No, it's through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're justified by faith that's in Jesus Christ. See, it's by faith. See, all that's what I believe. Now, but where is your faith? That's a big word, F-A-I-T-A. God said, if any man come to me, you must have faith. The just shall live by faith. We go through all the scriptures. We find in the book of Romans, we find in the book of the synoptic scripture, where it was talking about F-A-I-T-H, F-A-I-T, faith. It takes faith through God. Faith. Well, let's see if we can get in and say this in the next few minutes we have. Because faith is what is, faith says this here. When you take notice to hear what God's saying, now faith is. What is the word faith? Unseen seeing. It's a movement where God is. When we have the faith of God, because we come to God, we must believe that he exists, that he is. We got to believe. Well, I don't know how to believe. Well, we ain't going to get to see God. I'm just going to be honest with you. You ain't going to get to see him. As I say to you, in my little carnal mind, my pure mind that I have in God. See, once a Christian, I tell people, faith takes us to the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus was the Word of God. Who was the Word? Jesus Christ. Who was the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, he's the Bible says in the trial, it says, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I was reading in the Word. He says, and these three have become one. He says, there are three that bear record in the earth. And that's the flesh, the spirit, and the blood that bear record in the earth. Three in heaven and three on earth. So we have a consistency to stay close to be in contact with God. And Father, I ask you tonight in Yeshua and HaMashiach, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will strengthen us, that you will talk to us, bring us to a place called there, that we'll meet you there, Father, that your word will be what it's supposed to be. I want to thank you this night for all that you have done. And Father, I know full well what the enemy is trying to do, but I've called him a liar. I've called him a lie openly what he's done. I have, Lord, and I thank you for what you've done in Jesus Christ. And for this, I said, thank you. And Father, whatever the desires are, let it be so. We move to the next level, and we praise you. And we love you, and we adore you. And I thank you, Father. I refuse to look back. I refuse to look to the left or to the right. I believe in looking straight ahead. And now, Father, this is the night that I said, thank you, that you've given those who believe. And I praise you that people know, once again, to every believer, your sins were judged at Calvary. Let nobody tell you, you were judged at Calvary. You were judged. They can't put nothing on you. But Jesus can ask a question to you once you have come, been judged at Calvary. Why Calvary? Because it was a rugged, it was an ignominious death. I mean, where they whipped and blood was spewing all over the place, but it was a place we went there with him. He went to Calvary, we went to Calvary. He took our place, and he's doing it for us. Right now, no, he ain't on Calvary no more. No. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Interceding. Why is he interceding? He's putting an impression in God. Willie Hunter gonna make it. We see him making a move in. We see some other. And I don't know the rest of the name, but I see Willie Hunter. I see him. He's making a move, Lord. And God said, don't let the door close right now. Willie Hunter going to do better. Martha Hunter going to do better. Chance Hunter going to do better. Charmaine going to do better. My grandson going to do better. My brothers and sisters in the body, they're going to do, Lord, give them time. And he's interceding for us. That may not be his prayer, but it's what I believe. He's talking to the Father. Jesus said, wait a minute. He said, well, we just want to have a place to sit on your kingdom when you return. He said, wait a minute, that's not mine. What? No. Jesus don't even know when he's coming back. The Father. He said, oh, no, that's in the Father's hands. That's not in my hands. Now, you know what? Have you studied the Word to find out? A lot of the churches that are out there are not doing what they need to do. And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to beat you up. And see, some people can come in and say what they say, and they say it. But until you come to know what the Word of God says, you will not get to see Jesus Christ. You've got to confess. You got to believe. You got to accept. You got to know that you know. And nobody can tell you it didn't happen to you because your spirit man will know it. Hallelujah. Your spirit man will know it. Not you, but your spirit man. Because it intercedes. And the Holy Spirit coming on make deep moans and groans that cannot be understood by man. But God does, the Holy Spirit does, bring us to a point. He brings us to a point. See, I judge myself all the time. Lord, I made a mistake. Why? Because if the Lord judged me, see, 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians 11:32, and read what it says. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Oh, you mean some people don't want to judge themselves? Nope. Not really. But he said here in 1 Corinthians, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when it was judged, when we were judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned. And you know what the chastening means? Whatever the chastening is, why would God want to do it? It's up to him. And God just revealed to me, he said, yes. He said, my chastening is upon you. I said, Father, I receive it, but I know you're going to do better. Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Anybody got a question out there? A statement? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm listening, I'm listening to my Lord. Oh, my Lord, send me now. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
B63H03, Healing Scriptures.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none, or permit none, of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the leap of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26:3, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants, and walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely it bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. On the margin reads, surely he hath borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14. And then chapter 2:10-15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and having small principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus 20:12, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, that by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10-16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall I trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, submit not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why should this life die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, the woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged unto him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish him in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and have suffered many things, many physicians, and it's been all that she had and was nothing but it, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came of the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude following thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumor, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in bed those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this sake, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. He made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and was formed. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a job. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help me.
There's something wrong with this.
Praise the living God. Praise the living God to you. Hello?
Hello?
Sonia?
Yes.
You're on air.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come boldly to your throne of grace this evening, through and by the blood of Jesus, thanking you for this time, O God. Father, we lift up all of us on the air tonight. We lift up each and every individual and every family joined to us, O God. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, O God. And we ask you, Lord God, to speak through my vocal cords, think through my mind. Let it be all of you and none of me. And Father God, I ask you to just bless us this evening with your word, a word in due season, O God. But the word says that one word from the Lord can change our lives. So, Father, we are looking for your word tonight. We are expecting your word, O God. Our expectation, Father God, is in you. We are expecting, O God, to receive your word. We're expecting to be transformed, oh God. We're expecting, oh God, your spirit to take over and to move throughout this radio session tonight, oh God. We're expecting for deliverance, oh God. We're expecting to be made whole. We're expecting healing. We expect your salvation. We expect your deliverance, oh God. We expect your way, your truth, and your life, oh God. And we just thank you in advance, oh God, believing that we receive what we've asked for. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The word from the Lord tonight is to speak on what is the tonight is the 30th of June, and
amen.
Oh, look at the gospel. You know, the Lord told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We're going to look at this gospel tonight. The gospel is called the good news because it addressed the most serious problem that you and I have as human beings. Problem is simply this. God is holy and he is just and we are not. And at the end of our life, we are going to stand before a just and a holy God and we will be judged. And we will be judged either on the basis of our own righteousness or our lack of it, for the righteousness of another. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus lived a perfect life in perfect righteousness. Jesus lived a life of perfect righteousness, of perfect obedience to God, not for his own well-being, but for his people, for us, the believers, the ones who believe, and the ones who are going to believe. He has done for us what we could not possibly do for ourselves. But not only has he lived that life of perfect obedience, he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the justice and the righteousness of God. For God to forgive us is a very costly matter. It cost the sacrifice of his own son. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at this gospel. This sacrifice was so valuable that God pronounced it valuable by raising him from the dead so that Christ died for us. He was raised for our justification. The gospel is the message of who Jesus is and what he is, and how are the benefits of appropriated to us. How do I get it? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And the Bible makes it clear that we are justified not by our works and not by our efforts and not by our deeds, but by faith alone. By faith alone. Because I want to stop some of this this thinking that we got to do things and we've got to do deeds. The Bible says in Romans 3:28, and it's not just I want to stop it, the Lord wants to stop it because it's not correct. When we're thinking I got to do church attendance, I got to do all these works that the church is calling me to work, we got to go back to ground zero and look at what the Word is saying that is required of us. Take a look at Romans 3:28. It's not about our efforts, and it's not about our deeds, but it's by faith alone. Romans 3:28 says a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The only way you can receive the benefits of Christ's life and death is by putting your trust in him and in him alone. When we do this, we are declared just by God. We are adopted into his family. We are forgiven of all our sins, and we have begun our pilgrimage for eternity. The word gospel means good news. I know we've all heard that, the good news. The word gospel means good news. So the gospel of Christ is the good news of his coming to provide forgiveness of sin for all who will believe. If we take a look at Colossians 1:14, and we're going to get real basic here tonight, just starting out at ground zero because that's where we got to start. We've got to start at the beginning of this, all of it. You know, for those who are not born again, I want to give you exactly what it takes to step out of death into life. And that's what we're calling you to tonight. This is not about a talk show or about opinions. This is the Word of God, and that is the truth of the matter. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of talk shows, and they're talking about their own opinions. These things are not getting us anywhere. We're talking about eternity. When you leave this earth, you've got to go somewhere. And also, God has made a way for us to live on this earth in victory. And this is the beginning, accepting this good news. And I just wanted to get down and just lay the groundwork of what this good news means and exactly what it says. What is the gospel is what we're talking about tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. In 1 Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So what I just said, just to reiterate it, the word gospel means good news. So the gospel of Christ is the good news of his coming to provide forgiveness of sin for all who will believe. And 1 Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And then if we look at Romans 10:9, you want to turn there with me, Romans 10:9. But I'm just going through these basic scriptures. This is the good news. Because this is what we've all got to get. We've got to get it, and we've got to step out of this death. And, we cannot be just continuing in this. If you're listening to me tonight, this is the way to get out. This is the way to get out and get into the pathway to eternal life. We've got to get out of death into life, and God has made a way. And the only way is through him. So let's look at Romans 10:9, and it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
That's it. It's not church attendance. It's not your works at the church. It's you've got to start with believing. You've got to start right here with the word of God. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's the word of God right there. That's the word
Amen.
Of God.
Yeah.
And what got us in this condition is since the beginning of time, when the first man sinned, Adam, mankind has been under the condemnation of God. Take a look at that. That's Romans 5 and 12. Romans 5 and 12. This is all in the word of God. I'm not coming from an opinion, and I'm not coming from, you know, what we see these talk show hosts talking about. This is the word of God. It's telling us exactly what we must do. It is showing us the pathway here. And this is the truth. This is the truth. This is your way out tonight, church. And if you're not in the church, this is your way out, individual, woman, man, child. This is your way out. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. That's what got us in this condition. And do you know that our Savior is our hero, and he's the one that's got us out. So that's what happens to us. Through one man, sin came into the world. And through death came in through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. The punishment for the crime of sin is physical death. The punishment for the crime of sin is physical death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what you gon' that's your payment for sin is death. But the free gift, I like when what God just brings us the solution right to our face. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, you know, a lot of folks, there's a lot of doctrines out there that say, okay, you just, you know, there's many ways to heaven. There's not many ways.
There's one way.
People look at me every day and they want me to accept that stuff, and they don't like the sign on my desk that say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but that's what I believe. And that's what the word of God supports. And the bottom line is God is the one that reconciles us back to him. There is nothing we can do to get right with God. God has made the way, and then he did everything for us to come back to him. And all we have to do is believe it, accept the free gift. It's a free gift, and it doesn't matter about your economic status, about who you are, what your gender is, what you did in the past. He's already made the way. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Everything we did, he already took care of it. That's an awesome God right there. And it requires us to believe. And see, we can't play around with this belief. You know, a lot of times people can make you think they believe because you're looking at the outside of them. But God looks at our heart. He knows exactly if we believe or not. And that's all he asks us to do, is to believe him and accept his free gift. Now, that's
Amen.
The most awesome Praise thing God. I've ever heard of in my life. And I want to make that clear to you tonight, because religion has also messed some of us up with a lot of things that they have put on top of saying what is required. It's only about believing God and accepting his free gift. It says it right here in Romans 6:23. I just read it, and I will read it one more time. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It don't cost us nothing but to believe. It only costs us to turn from the way we're walking right now and just say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to continue in this way. All we have to do is just renounce those things that we've been doing. I don't want to be that. I don't want to continue that way. And you know what? You don't have to change you. God is the one. The Holy Spirit's work is to transform us. All we have to do is surrender. And that means just hold up your hand and just surrender. Quit doing what
Amen.
You're doing and just turn around to him and just let him have his way. All we have to do is believe him tonight. Whether you in the church or not in the church, or you've been in the church and you need to come back to the church. Because you know the church is not that building. The Bible says when two or more are gathered together, he's in our midst. We are the church. The church is living. It's not a brick. It's not mortar building. It's us when we gather together and we are believers. We need to come out of this learned behavior, this tradition, this religious teaching. Some of this stuff is not correct. If it's not by the word of God, it's not correct. All God called us to was to believe him and accept his free gift. I want to talk about where we are when we don't accept his free gift. I want to just go back and talk about this thing and let us see what road we're headed on when we don't accept God and his word. It says that the punishment for the crime of sin is a physical death. And I just read to you from Romans 6:23 where it says the wages of sin is death. So, and then you have an eternity spent in a place of eternal punishment. This is when we don't accept this free gift. I want us to turn over to Revelation 20 and 15. Revelation 20 and 15. And this is not what God wants for us, but this is, you know, we have a choice. We either accept his gift or if we don't accept the free gift, we will find ourselves in this type of condition. It says, and anyone not found written in the book of life into the lake of fire. That's the condition if we don't accept the free gift.
Jesus,
called us to choose life, and he's made it so evident to us, and I thank him for it. So if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown to the lake of fire. Now, your name is found written in the book of life when you accept that free gift. When you accept that free gift. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, also, Matthew 25 and 46. Matthew 25 and 46 and says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When we don't accept that free gift, we have eternal punishment awaiting us. But when we accept that free gift, we have eternal life. Tell you, this choice is so clear. You know, God has made a way that we don't have to go down the road of eternal punishment. We don't have to go down the road of unknown. We don't have to go down the road of deceit. And we don't have to stay in darkness because he called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Just want to go back to this thing again and talk about this eternal separation. This eternal separation from God is also called the second death. And just like we just read in Revelation 2015, just want to go back one scripture where it says, Revelation 20:14, it says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So God did not call us to have that type of, you know, future. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says that God knows the plan he had for us.
plans of good and not of evil, to give us a hope and a future. He reconciled us to himself. He brought us back. He's given us a Savior, you know. And we don't have to accept that eternal separation from him. He doesn't want that, but he does give us a choice.
He does
give us a choice tonight. So I want to just stay on this lesson because, for me it's so important because Jesus called us and just want to stay on that task tonight because I want to make sure that I understand it and you understand it because we all need to have our foundation and we all need to be ready to talk about this gospel. It's so critical. Everybody needs to understand that so that they can come in and receive Jesus as Lord tonight. The fact that that all are guilty of sin. We all are guilty. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. We all are guilty of sin and condemned to spend eternity in a place of torment, which is a very bad news, but God, because of his love for the world, has made a way for man to be forgiven for their sins. Clearly, we talk about this all the time, but I don't know if we've got some repeat callers or first-time callers, but the bottom line is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you can turn with me to John 3:16. If you don't know it by heart, turn with me if you have your Bible. John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take the sins of man on himself through death on the cross. And 1 Peter 2:24, we're going to look at this cross. 1 Peter 2:24, if you turn with me to 1 Peter 2:24, it says that, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen? In placing our sins on Christ, God ensured that all who would believe in the name of Jesus will be forgiven. And that's a done deal. Turn with me to Acts 10:43. And it says, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Now, come on now. Everyone who believes in him. That's all it requires. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Amen. Through his name.
Amen.
That blessed me now. I don't know about y'all. I know I got some stuff to be forgiven. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news, that God provided the way for man to be freed from the penalty of sin. And I always talked about these penalties, the lake of fire, the second death, Hades, hell. He provided a way for us to be free. We talked about liberty last week. He is liberty. He has provided a way for us to be free. All we got to do is believe. John 14. You turn with me to John 14:6. John 14:6. And you know where I'm going. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Hallelujah.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Father,
the Lord has
provided
a way for us to be free from the penalty of sin. And it is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. And the Father said, I so love the world that I sent my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then as we go back and look at that Romans 10:9-10, I mean, this is the way. This is the way. This God has already made a way And it's just a clear path, as I've read to you earlier. In Romans 10, I just wanted to hit these scriptures once again, where it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. If you confess. And you know what? That's the choice God gives us. That's why it says if. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved, shall have eternal life. But not all people will be saved from hell. Only those who place their faith in Jesus will go to heaven when they die.
My God.
Place their faith in Jesus will go to heaven when they die. And you know, we don't have to stay in the state we are in tonight. We can step out of our situation. We can step out of our condition right now. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is here with us. Acts 4 and 12 says, if you turn with me to Acts 4 and 12, and it says in Acts 4 and 12, it's going to give you a minute to get there if you're trying to get there. Acts 4 and 12. And there is salvation in no one else. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is salvation in no one else, but there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Oh, yeah.
I hope this has been clear tonight. I tried to make it as clear as I could, and I just, asked the Lord God to, just break it down for us, oh God. Because we need to clearly understand, and the Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. That's why I just went back to everything. The Lord just led me to just lay it out clearly tonight. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news anyone will ever hear. And what a person does with this news will determine where we spend eternity. What we do with this news will determine where we spend eternity. God is calling us to choose life. God is calling us to choose life. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Romans 10 and 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Romans 10 and 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.
Amen. Well,
amen. And Dr. Herman, I just want to know if there's anyone that's with us tonight that wants to call on the name of the Lord, that want to turn their life over to Jesus. If there's anyone on this radio that if you just think about it right now, if you died right now and you think about this thing and and you say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, then you need to get saved. If there's if there's a doubting in you, you need to call in. You need to press one, and you need to do whatever you can do and call in and let us know. We're going to pray with you right now. You ain't got to live like this. You ain't got to live, I don't know. And the thing about it is, when you call, we're going to pray with you, and it's a done deal because God said it. I just
read
anyone who calls, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's period, point blank. Immediately, it happens. You don't have to wait. You don't have to tarry. That's what it says. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, no matter what your condition is, what you've been doing, drunk, alcoholic, transvestite, gay, lesbian. It don't matter, pedophile, a murderer, whoever you are, thief, criminal,
regular person, you know, some of us think we regular, you know, what, whoever we are. But I'm just listing out some stuff because people think sometimes their stuff is so bad they can't call on the Lord. Well, he died for the bad one, okay? I was a bad one, you know, and some of our stuff every day, we all sin daily. Ain't none of us up here and down, you know. The bottom line is the believers and those who don't believe. And we all need a Savior.
My God.
And it said that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you don't know whether you go to heaven if you died right now, you need to call us and we can pray this prayer of salvation. And it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's immediately. All you got to do is call on him. You know, God is looking at your heart. He's not looking at what's going on around you. And once you call on him, the Holy Spirit is immediately there to transform you. All we got to do is surrender. We have to repent of our sins. And that means when we repent, we just turn. We turn from the things that we have been doing. We know that's not pleasing to God. And he just said, turn away from it and turn to me. I'm life. Choose life. Stop choosing the death that you've been choosing. Choose life. Make a different choice tonight. You know, one thing that I've heard that I can say is that when you continue to choose, do the same things and you expect different results, that's crazy. That's insanity. It's not working. Even if you're making a lot of money, you still don't have peace. Whatever it is, you may have all the material, but you don't have peace. God didn't say nothing but just repent, turn from those ways, and turn to him. He's got eternal life for us, and he calls us to be victorious on this earth. He calls us to be delivered, healed, set free from all these things that have locked us up and chained us up. You know, even though we might look good on the outside, we still got a lot of prisons going on in our minds, in our souls. We got sicknesses. God has healing. He's got deliverance. He's got salvation, which is the most important one. And then the whole package deal comes with the deliverance, with the healing, with the preservation. He's got a whole package deal for us tonight. We don't have to live like this anymore.
Amen.
He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. All right, Dr. Hunter, I'm going to turn it back over to you. But, you know, we got somebody calling.
No. Amen. No, I say this to you, my dear beloved sister. You could just keep on because she was spitting the word of God out. And that's what's needed in America today. We have more people who sit behind the scene, don't say nothing, don't want to do nothing, but hear the word of truth. And I would say to those who are believers, I would ask you on your time to hear what has been said. From the very first word, Romans 3:20, and from Colossians 1:14, Romans 10:9, on down, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23, on down and down to Job 14, because the word of God is so true and so sure. So we're here to say to those of you, and the more I look at it, I just take it to the world's present week right now. That young man some time ago who was left in the car by his father, we don't know if that's purposely or not purposely, but you know, God, if that person did it wrongfully, I pray that they ask God to forgive them. If they didn't, somehow, some way, God still loved that child. That's a soul that was buried in this world. And I see more happening in this world we live in. My cry is to God. I will say this to the believers tonight, because what the sister has done tonight has warmed my heart. Because, as you well know, and I will just tell you the truth, I'm not the Apostle Paul. When I heard of your faith, it made me get, wow. Oh, I'm not by myself. See, but you got somebody out there that been through, and I like what she said. And she said, I'm not the only one. I got some forgiveness I know. And I'm here to tell you, when Jesus Christ accepts you, you have been judged the day you come to Calvary, and you are forgiven. Now, it's up to you to start walking and walk right. And I will say this to you. Anybody that's on the radio line and still with us, got something they want to say? Because I want to tell you, because as I was saying, I'm sending out a note to all of us. But I will say this. We're going to start fasting in the month of July. Whatever time the Lord have you to do it, half a day, whole day, 1 hour, 2 hours, you choose. But I'm asking you to do one thing, to fast and pray, that God would undergird you with the fullness of the fire of the Holy Ghost. That you, the believer, can do it with 1 day, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever your day purpose you. Because I'm here to tell you, we have more souls to capture in the hours that we're now living. Because the more we say, and I say this to you, I've just passed by two funerals of my beloved nephew and my beloved brother, and I've never heard or seen so much ignorance of people talking about the Lord can't do what the Lord ain't going to do. I said, where do these people get this philosophy from? God says through his son, no man come to the Father but by me. And she talked tonight. And I want to say this. I'm believing in the month of October of in August, we're going to do a two-day revival here in Houston. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plead. Because God has told me, and I believe it. If it ain't more than 50 people that we've done what God say do, all God wants us to do is to do what he said do. See, he's got to first see if we're going to be faithful. And I will tell you that are listening, you talking to a man and been through things I used to do, I won't even talk about it no more because that man don't live here no more. But what I will tell you is that a man that loves God, a man that will give his life or do what God said do, I'm here to tell you. And I will say this lovely and kindly. You are the one. You are the one out there listening. We behind the scene are praying for you, believing for you. See, it's time for America to take notice of what's going on. I don't put any trust in the politicians, whether it be the president, the senators, or governors, or the mayor. I don't put any trust in them because they don't have the bona fide word. The only bona fide word I see is when it's lightning, it thunders, it roars. I ask a question, can a man do that? No. Can a man make that happen? No. Even though it appears, but God, in his word, the line's open. Anybody question the statement? The line's open. Amen. Well, I will say this to you. Sister Tanya, God bless you. Hug your children, kiss them for me with the love of Jesus Christ. And remember these words, much is to be done. And the only way you're going to be able to do it, we have to do it ourselves. You have came and mortified. You have shown what God is doing through you. And I will say to you, stay patient, stay indoors, close it up if you don't have anything else to say.
Okay, I want to say this one last thing and just reiterate the last thing I said. Let it be the last thing to be heard. Not all people will be saved from hell. Only those who place their faith in Jesus will go to heaven when they die. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that is only through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news that we will ever hear. What we do with this news will determine where we spend eternity. God is calling us to choose life. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Romans 10 and 13 says, for everyone who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. And Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to let this word flow deep down into our hearts, that we all can see where we are tonight. And Father, for us that need to call on your name, Father, draw us by your Spirit that we may be able to call on your name tonight. And Father, for those of us who need to rededicate our lives, Lord God, Father, give us the strength, the spiritual courage to step up and to repent and call on your name tonight. And for those of us who have already called on your name, Lord God, give us the strength to continue to fight the good fight of faith, oh God, and to lay aside every weight. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Create in us a clean heart and renew the right spirit that we may serve you, O God. And if in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. And remember these words. I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it because it's the love of Jesus Christ. Until such time, the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.